On this episode of Vulnerable Views.
And that's when I just went, oh my gosh, there's financial advisors and accountants that help people with their money in other ways. There's nobody that's teaching the tangibles that also deeply understands the shame and the emotional side and the anxiety. And I've been through that. And me being able to heal that, I went, I 100% have to start a business that helps people on this.
Welcome back to another episode of Vulnerable Views. Today we have an amazing guest. It's been so exciting getting to talk to her while we're setting up, and Shelly and I are really excited for you guys to hear more from her. So we have Mandy Thomas with us today to talk a little bit about finances, saving, and a lot of great things we need to know about money. So Mandy is the CEO of Intentionally Wealthy Coaching, which is a financial coaching business. She's also the podcast host of Intentionally Wealthy Coaching. She helps people who make good money to solve their most expensive financial problems they're struggling with and to overcome their money anxiety. By age 26, she had already saved $250,000. She overcame extreme anxiety around money and combines both the tangible and strategic with the holistic and emotional side of money. She empowers her clients to improve their finances so they have more options, opportunities, and freedom in their life. Mandy also helps entrepreneurs to be able to pay themselves from their business, have money set aside for taxes, and to get ahead financially. So hearing all this, like, you know, Shelly and I have Vulnerable Views as a little side gig that we're trying to get the financial side of it more, like, more aware of that. And then we also have extreme anxiety, so there's already so many, well, maybe not extreme, but we have anxiety, so there's also, like, all these things I'm resonating with from your bio, Mandy. But I guess the one thing that I'm, like, I have to hear about this is, how did you save, I think it's more than $250,000 by the time you were 26? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, so it was definitely very intentional. I grew up, we didn't have a lot of money. So when I got my first, like, kind of big girl job, I was like, I need to save as much money as possible. So I didn't even know a ton back then. Like, my parents didn't really teach me about money. So I just started kind of doing things that I thought would help. And one of the biggest things that was really, really helpful was, as soon as I started to get paid, I had money that came off my paycheck before I even received it. So I couldn't even spend it, that automatically went to my investments. Now, back then, I had no idea anything about investments. I didn't know if they were that great, what I was choosing. I honestly didn't feel very confident, but I thought, you know what? It's way better that I just, like, I can't wait until I feel super confident, or I have no idea how long that's going to take. So I had everything come off right away, went to my investment. So that really started building it up. And then once my paycheck did hit my account, I would additionally set money aside for savings. Sometimes I would put more towards my investments. And then also anytime that I received a bonus, an increase in wage, anything like that, or a tax refund, I never spent that money. I always put it into savings or into my investments. So I basically stayed living at, like, the same amount that I started at. So as my wage grew and as I had even, like, overtime came in, I never really spent that, because I just kept going back to thinking, as when we were kids and we just didn't have a lot, I was like, wow, I know that I have to manage my money basically the opposite of how my parents did. And I think that'll turn out okay. So that was just a huge thing, was a lot of times people will wait until the end of their paycheck to try to save money. Well, it's so easy to have spent so much, and even not, like, accidental overspending is what I call it, where you might still have money in your account, but you didn't realize you need to set some money aside for upcoming expenses. So honest to goodness, that's one of the biggest things, is getting the money out of there right after you've been paid. So sometimes you may have heard someone say, like, pay yourself first. That's really what I considered that, was me saving that money. It was like paying for my future self to be able to, like, retire someday. So that was honestly such an instrumental step in me being able to save that much money, was because once it was out, it was kind of out of sight, out of mind. And that's a really big thing, is when we have all our money just sitting in, like, one checking account, we really feel like that's what's available to us. Like, we can absolutely take all that money out of our checking account and spend it. So when you have it in these other places, honestly, it's a game changer when you don't see it, because you truly then feel like you have less available to you.
Wow, that's such I've heard that too before. Both of the things you talked about, like, have two different accounts, or like more than one at least, so you can, like, once you put it out of sight, out of mind, right? And then a friend was recently telling me, like, to put it in the phrase of, like, always live or try to live where you're at. Like, if you get a raise or you get a bonus, don't just be like, oh, that's more money I can spend or whatever, you know. Continuing to live at like a set level of means and not having that increase every time your wages increase, for example, can really help. That's some great stuff. I'm still amazed. I don't know. How are you feeling, Shelly? I'm just like, wow.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, yeah, that's an awesome story. I feel like it's, yeah, and you gave a lot of good, you know, solid tips and advice in there. And yeah, because I feel like that is so true, that I actually had a moment a few months ago where I looked at my checking account and I was like, oh, wow, how did kind of the accidental spending, like you said, where I was like, I don't remember spending this, or it was just like a lower amount than I was expecting. And it was, you know, right before the end of the month. And so, yeah, I liked what you said about it is so easy to kind of just see that number in your checking account. And you're like, oh, this is how much I have available. So I have enough to spend on these different things. And then at the end of the month, you're like, oh, now I don't have as much to save, or I don't, you know. So, and I have recently been putting aside a certain amount of my paycheck into a savings account and kind of working on my 401k investments, things like that. So, it's been, yeah, I've been definitely wanting to learn more about that, but yeah. And I think that's awesome that, kind of your background and your childhood that you went through too, where you kind of were used to being able to live at a certain level. So, and I think it also reminded me of, I feel like people always say that when someone wins the lottery, a lot of times they'll end up blowing all their money, because they're not used to having that much money. And then, yeah, it is kind of what you're saying too, where it's like, they're like, oh, now I have all this available to me. So then they just end up spending it, or they feel like, oh, this is so much that I'm not going to spend all of it. But then they do, instead of maybe being like, okay, I'm still going to live below or like at the same level I was before. And then I have this extra money to like save or invest. So I think from a kind of emotional or psychological level, I'm really fascinated by that too, and kind of how, yeah, I feel like human brains, we just want to, yeah, our first instinct is just to spend it if we have it. And so yeah, I think that's awesome that like from a young age too, you were able to kind of get this mindset of like, no, I need to be saving this. I need, you know, yeah, it sounds like you really kind of got on a good track from an early age, which I think is very helpful, I'm sure.
Yeah, I just knew my why was really big. I wanted to live a completely different life than how we did growing up. And I didn't know what that could look like, but I knew it could absolutely be better. And so for me, it was really understanding like the psychology aspect, which is what you just mentioned, and then the emotional intelligence. So for me, having that money come off right away, that was just setting me up for so much success, because like you had mentioned earlier about lifestyle creep, that is a huge thing that I see from my clients is as they make more money, they say, well, I never really feel any further ahead than, but I'm making the most that I ever have. And that's because as their income increased, their expenses increased at either the same or even in a higher rate. And that's just where it was a huge thing for me, that my income increased, but my expenses really did not increase, because I didn't allow it to. I always made it so my paycheck seemed less. And that was huge for the psychology standpoint.
It's funny, money is something that is not really talked about. At one point you mentioned like we talk about it more now than in the past. So I'm curious, do you think we're talking about it more than we used to 5-10 years ago? And maybe what prompted that change?
5 years ago, when people really weren't openly talking about money, there wasn't that conversation around it. Nobody even mentioned that money anxiety was even a thing. So it took me such a long time to realize this. And this is why it's so important to me to talk about it, is so other people can have this awareness so much sooner. So I just think that it's how everyone's online so much more. People feel way more comfortable sharing things. Like even when I started my business as a financial coach 3.5 years ago, so many people told me, A, you'll never be able to work with people on their finances. Like, you're not going to make a living doing that. And I just said, I understand that you feel that way, but I'm going to make this happen. So I was one of the first financial coaches in all of Canada. I work with clients in 6 different countries. And so in Canada, it was so very new. And so that was the thing, was back then that was new and it wasn't really talked about much. I think it's the same thing when it comes to a lot of different things about spending. A, it was talking about money in general is just a taboo topic, you know, by the way society has treated it, by the way the vast majority of our parents have treated it. So that's how we felt. And now that we see other people opening up about it, we feel like we can open up about it more. And I think that that's one of the most beautiful things, because part of the reason why I had such bad anxiety around money was because I felt so alone. I felt so much shame. I had saved all this money. I was in an amazing position, but yet I was having such bad anxiety. It was turning to binge eating for me. I got actually very, very sick from just the amount of stress I had. And that's the reason that I left my previous career and really started my business, was because I got so sick from not opening up about it and not working through all this internal stuff around money, that I went, wow, like if this was how bad it was for me and I had no debt, I was not living paycheck to paycheck, there's so many other people out there who don't understand money as well, that are struggling in silence. And so that's a big thing, is just the more conversations we have, the less people feel alone in these struggles and the more that they can open up. So a really big thing is I just think that there's more people talking about it now, and it is becoming less of a taboo topic. There's a lot more kind of like everyday people talking about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I do feel like the past few years in general, people have started opening up more about a lot of different topics. And so I think, I can't remember if it was a book I read or a podcast or something, where someone said like the two most taboo topics in our society is like money and sex. It's like both of those are, there's so much shame around them. And then they're both topics that everyone has some sort of relationship with, you know, so it's like everyone encounters those at some point in their life. Yeah, it is interesting that it's like, I do feel like it's getting better, that I have, I follow a lot of like financial coaches and relationship and sex coaches, a lot, you know, life coaches, all that kind of stuff on Instagram now. And it's like, I think, yeah, it is really cool that that's kind of become a career option for a lot of people who can help people talk about these topics that like in the past were just, you have to struggle in, yeah, like you said, you kind of have to like struggle in silence and feel like you can't talk about it, or that it's not something that's, you know, appropriate to bring up with friends or with family or whoever. Yeah, no, I totally relate to that. And then I also wanted to just say that like I really relate to like your story about, I also have struggled with binge eating and emotional eating, and it actually wasn't until the past few months that I realized that there was kind of a connection with money as well. Like for a while I had realized that I had a problem with binge eating for a while now, but then it was like, yeah, recently when I was kind of trying to look at my budgeting and look at like in that month that I mentioned where I had spent too much, when I looked at it, it was like, oh, most of that was spent on food, on alcohol, on things like that. That was like, okay, I didn't need to have spent that much, but it was, but yeah, for me, it definitely gets triggered by, stress or boredom, like you mentioned too, where it's like, if I'm have nothing going on one evening, I'm like, oh, I should just order some food and end up eating more than I should or whatever. Or like, I should just stop and get a bottle of wine or something. So it's like, yeah, it's interesting to see how those, my emotional kind of relationship with those things is very similar to it with money too. And I feel like I hadn't really realized that for a long time. So, yeah, I appreciated you kind of sharing that part of your story, because I felt like I can, yeah, definitely really relate to that. I'm sure there's a lot of people who will hopefully listen to this podcast too, who will be like, oh, I've also struggled with that. And I never realized, you know, that, because yeah, again, like we said, it's just like not talked about a lot. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you so much for sharing that you have also went through those same struggles, because it's actually, this is what's harder to notice, is the connection when it comes to, you know, money anxiety, that stress there, and the connection to food. It's a lot easier if, let's say, for example, you went on Amazon and you like bought a bunch of stuff on there, or you went on Lululemon and you bought a bunch of clothes, whatever that looked like. It's a lot easier to make those connections, but the connection to the food choices that we make, you know, overeating, eating out way more, like those types of things, that connection is a lot harder to make. But it's really interesting. There was a study done, and there was a higher correlation between women who feel like they're struggling with their finances and women who are also struggling when it comes to their food choices and kind of binge eating and that sort of thing, stress eating. Like, it is a real thing, and it absolutely affects your finances. I remember one month I looked and I was tracking my spending, and it was just like, I just felt like throwing up when I seen how much I had spent on eating out and all those extras. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I can't believe what I'm seeing here. And then I felt terrible about it, because nobody was talking about it. So we need to be able to talk about these things so we can overcome them together, because the amount of women struggling with this, it is very high. And also, you don't have to struggle with it forever. But the first thing is, you know, making the connection, having that awareness, and also believing that you can work through it as well. And then, of course, seeking out resources to help you.
Hi guys, enjoying our podcast? Then you might enjoy another one. We wanted to recommend a podcast we've recently discovered called The Happiness Lab. This podcast is by Yale professor Dr. Lori Santos, and it dives deep into the science behind happiness and how we can use that to be happier in our own lives. We're already on episode 4 and we love it. Check it out and let us know what you think. You can reach out to us on Instagram at vulnerableviews, or you can send us an email at vulnerableviewspodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you.
Mandy, I wanted to touch back to something the three of us were talking kind of a little initially, which is the concept of emotional spending. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of times people think that what they need is to really get a handle on their spending. They really think it's the expending that's the issue. And what it is they really need to get in touch. Like, there's something going on deep down inside that needs to be addressed. That's truly what needs to be addressed. So a lot of times, like when I see couples and the man's like, well, you just need to spend less. Like, yes, in theory, but there's so much that goes on behind the scenes that then that person just ends up, that other partner ends up just feeling really shamed because they're like, well, yeah, I know, but I'm just really, really struggling with it and I don't know why. So that's where I always tell my clients to really feel into and just become more aware of your emotions and what's going on in your head. Like, what are those thoughts that are coming up for you that are probably repeating over and over again? So having a journal to just start become more aware of it is amazing. So, and start noticing, like, what are your triggers? For me, for example, when I used to really struggle with emotional spending, my triggers were when it came to food. That was 100%, like, when my anxiety would come up around money, and I didn't know why that anxiety was coming up. So I was working with a coach, and finally I started to realize was I needed to just kind of be almost like an outside observer of, right when that was happening, the anxiety was coming up, what was going through my head, like what kind of internal environment was going on. And I started to realize, you know, for me, it was like after 4 p.m. and on, that was my really tough time of the day, was the evenings. Usually the mornings were fine. The early afternoon was okay. And then all of a sudden I would think about something about money. And then I would just go down this like very rabbit hole of like worst case scenario. So for example, I had accumulated all this money, but I was just so afraid of losing it because I just didn't want to go back to how we were as kids, where there wasn't always enough for groceries. Like, that was what, so even though I was managing it well, I didn't have any debt, I was really good on the strategy and the tangible side. I had not evolved on the emotional side and how my mindset was and the anxiety piece. For me, it was the scarcity. A lot of times it comes back to, we have a lot of scarcity in our childhood, or there's people that maybe you didn't actually have scarcity. Maybe your parents actually did really well, but they treated it, or maybe one parent treated it as if there was a lot of scarcity. I'll hear both those stories where, yes, the scarcity was super real, or my parents did really well, but for example, maybe my mom, who was managing it more, she treated it like we were super broke. And a lot of times that scarcity will come in, and we will experience that a ton when it comes to eating. And so I started to realize that it was, when I went down worst case scenario, I would lose my house, I would lose my job, and I wouldn't have anything to eat. Then I got really stressed out and I would basically binge eat, which honestly made my eating out costs go way through the roof. So that was my emotional spending. So I needed to realize what it was coming back to, and that I hadn't dealt with anything from my childhood around money, the scarcity, the financial traumas. So what I just suggest to do is, there's going to be very particular patterns that come up for you, and it's coming from a very loving place. This is not from self-judgment. It's being curious. I wonder what's going on in my head when I feel like emotional spending, or after I've emotionally spent. So for example, I'm seeing a really big thing right now where a lot of people are spending more on Amazon right now because they're at home and they're a lot more bored. You're not having that human interaction like we previously were before COVID. And so that's a really big thing right now, is a lot of people are just feeling really lonely. And that takes such a huge toll on us that, you know, when they're either scrolling Instagram or Facebook and they see an ad, it's so much easier to buy something. And they're feeling that void of loneliness that then trying to fill it with something externally, which is, you know, something on Amazon, or maybe if it's like a whole bunch of skip the dishes right now, different things like that. So the biggest thing is just becoming aware, like, what's going on for you? Are you lonely right now? Are you bored? So some of my clients who've just been really bored lately, like when I'm helping them to figure out what is the true reason for the emotional spending, when we see, okay, I'm actually just so bored in the evening, then I say, okay, let's come up with a list of 10 different things besides sitting and scrolling that you can go to instead. And they're like, okay. And when you have this list already, it makes it so much easier to go to it, whether it's doing board games, whether it's painting, like whatever those things are that honestly you might never have done, but it's a great thing for you to do at home right now. So that's where I'll come up with them to help them come up with a list so they're more prepared for it. So just figuring out, like, what is underneath? Is it that you have a job that you hate and it's literally eating you from the inside out? Is it some kind of toxic environment right now? Is it because you feel like you pour into other people all day long and you have no time for yourself, that you feel like you spending money is your self-care and nourishment because it feels like you're finally filling your cup? Whatever that is, just really starting to get underneath and to make that connection is absolutely huge when it comes to emotional spending. And so that's such a high correlation. And when you really get to the bottom of, like, healing the feelings around scarcity and working through, like, your family money paradigm, the things that the environment that you grew up in, and really challenging those things, but at the same time also processing and really working through them and grieving, like feeling the sadness, feeling the anger, which is a really big one most women avoid. And that's one of the things I love that I think is actually one of the most beautiful things when I'm working with a woman on the emotional side, and we work on her actually grieving the sadness of what she actually experienced as a kid, and also how it was for her parents, because they learned it from their parents. So really grieving for their parents, grieving for themselves as well, working through the sadness, but also through the anger, through the things that their parents didn't teach them about money that they wish they would have known, or just different things that happened growing up. It's incredible how when we don't even talk about food or don't even talk about anxiety or these other things, all these other parts of their life start improving, because we're, instead of slapping a Band-Aid on it and just, you know, giving it a pill, we're actually getting, yes, this is much harder to do, getting to those internal wounds. And it's not always butterflies and rainbows, but holy cow, is it amazing to see how your life changes after you get to what's really underneath.
No, 100%. Yeah. And I just feel so happy that we have you here, because, like, Vulnerable Views, right? That's all that we're trying to do, is like have these important conversations about things, and money included. So it's so great to hear you stress about the importance of talking about it and getting to the root of, like, what may be affecting your spending, right? Like, I know for me, like, and I don't know if many people can relate, I think they can, like, right, you get like a little bit of a high when you buy something, right? And so when you were talking about being in quarantine, like, I'm in a situation where I'm, like, really lonely, and, like, I'm missing my friends a lot just because they're not nearby, the friends I used to be surrounded with, just due to distancing. So it's, like, every time I feel sad, I notice myself hovering to, that is addictive, by the way. I love their site, but BuzzFeed's, like, 35 things that'll make your life better, like, 40 things you need this summer or something. Like, I'll be like, oh, do I really need a cute little farm animal that'll hold all my cords? Like, it's really squishy and cute. And I'm like, yes, I do. And I'll click purchase. Actual real life example. It's a cute little piglet. But then you feel like that's a little high, right? And it's crazy, because it's almost like any other high of, like, it's temporary. And you think this will, like, fuel the sadness or whatever emotions, and then it's like it's there and then it's gone, and then you're looking for the next thing. And not to say that I think I have a serious problem with it, but I was noticing that, okay, like, when I'm sad, I tend to shop, or I tend to doom scroll. I'm starting to call it doom shopping, because I'm just like doom scroll shopping or whatever. And with all these feelings, with everything you're talking about, I guess to pause, I wanted to give you space if you wanted to comment on that, because sometimes I just say a lot and then I jump. But yeah, I get that. I'll, like, buy things and then be temporarily happy, and then I move on. Do you experience that with your clients?
Yes, so it's that dopamine hit. Exactly as you said, like, you feel that high. It's the exact reason why the binge eating was so hard for me to break. A, I didn't have the awareness around why it was actually happening. But after a while, your brain gets in the cycle of those dopamine hits. You just, how you keep feeling them. For example, like, Fuzzy Peaches was one of my, like, go-to kind of bad foods that I would eat. And it was just like, you would get that high. But that high comes up so quick, and then you come down off of it so fast, like a roller coaster, that the shame and the guilt and everything. But that's what we're trying to do. So that's where I suggest, like, I would love the person listening here to just start to write a list of what things make you feel really good. What makes you feel alive? What makes you feel adventurous? What makes you feel pleasure and joy? Because that's what you're trying to get from when you're eating really good food, like when you're eating, sorry, food that makes you feel really good, that isn't exactly great for you. Or when you buy that thing on Amazon or whatever that is, that's what you're trying to feel, is that pleasure and that joy, especially even more so now when we are by ourselves so much more and we are just kind of in a bubble, honestly. Write that down. What does that look like for you? Because it is incredible to see, once you start to map out more so like how to train your brain to find that in different ways, it's incredible. So maybe it is, like, for me, I have to, like, my workout has to come first thing in the morning. That is a huge high for me. And because we can share everything on this podcast, sex, that's another really good one. If you are able to right now, depending on what your circumstances are, making sure, if that is available to you, making sure to make that a priority right now, because you will feel so much better. And the other thing is just reminding yourself, I will share very honestly, I don't like having sex at night because I'm tired. I love having sex in the morning because I have more energy and it starts my day off, like, on such a good note. So find those other things that give you natural highs, whatever that may be, and being open to trying new things. Like, if it is, you know, going and looking for places in your local area that maybe you could go on a mini hike that would feel really good. Like, I know that we're not allowed to really travel right now and do different things. Geocaching, that is something that I think is really, really fun, that just, like, look into things that you can do in your own community, but make a list. So when you really honestly just want to shop instead, it's so much easier to see, like, a sticky note, put it on your computer, put it in multiple places around your house, because your brain is so trained to go to whatever your kind of coping mechanism is right now. So we need to change that. So I have a lot of times clients will put on their, a sticky note on their credit card that says, I am safe. Because a lot of times we're trying to feel safety in something else from something externally, and they'll go to their credit card and they'll spend. And I've had so many times where my clients have said, you have no idea how much money you've saved me just because when I pulled it out, I seen that there, or your goals, whatever that is. But try and figure out other things that make you feel a sense, like a little bit of a sense of a high, that make you feel adventure and exciting, because that's really what the vast majority of us are lacking right now, especially in these times.
I love that credit card tip. I'm going to go do that right after we get off this call. Like, that's so smart, because I'm just so prone to just pulling it out. I'm like, if I have a note right in that moment too, because I've tried to be like, okay, Faria, you don't need to spend that much money. But, like, you don't think about that when you're like, oh, I want to, you know, buy this food or buy this thing on Amazon. So I love that.
I want to share just even two other small tangible tips. We've talked a lot about the emotional. The other thing is, unsubscribe from emails that tempt you to spend. Oh my gosh, like, take 5-10 minutes, go through, type them in, unsubscribe, delete them. What I want you to do is, if there's something you really want, I would rather have you go out and search for it and find it because you really wanted it, versus something coming to your email and you going, oh my gosh, but it looks so cute, I have to have it. And then you kind of doing that internal battle. It's so much easier if you don't even see it. It's the same thing if you go down aisles, let's say in Costco, for example, if you go down every single aisle, I can guarantee you, there is like a 95% chance you are not going to stick to your grocery list. Because anytime that you look for something, for example, Costco, Facebook Marketplace, if you look, you will eventually find something. And then at that point, once you've found it, you've made this emotional connection, it is so hard to say no. So a big thing is just seeing less marketing, seeing less things that are available for you to choose from. Another one I tell my clients, I'm like, do you have the Amazon app on your phone? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, you don't anymore. Delete the app off. Because it's almost at that point like muscle memory. It's like boom, 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 and something is like shipped to your house. It shouldn't be that easy. And I also tell clients, like, if you have your information autofilled, like, remove it from things online. A, that really increases your security, because it's so easy for people to be able to steal your information if you have everything auto-filled. Like, you click on it, boom, you don't want that to happen. I'm sorry, you want it to be less convenient to punch it in every time. So start making it so you're not seeing as much stuff. Unsubscribe from emails, delete the Amazon app. And if you go to the mall and that's where it's tough for you, don't go to the places that are really difficult for you. Like, if you're like, but I'm just going to go look, that's the first mistake. I can totally do that, but that's because there's a lot of things that I'm really, like, I feel really grounded now because I've done so much work, so I really can. But if you are really still struggling with it, don't even give yourself that temptation.
No, those are great. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just going to, like, segue into those three tips. Those are great tips. So smart.
Listeners, running out of things to do during quarantine? We wanted to tell you about this cool game called We're Not Really Strangers. This is a card game that encourages deep conversations between players, and it's one that Faria and I recently played on an Instagram Live. Whether you're getting to know someone new or you want to strengthen an existing relationship, this game is a fun way to make that happen. Check them out on Instagram at We're Not Really Strangers.
Yeah, so I love all the tips you've shared so far, and I was just curious if you have any other kind of tangible tips or advice for people that they can hear and, like, start doing right now.
Absolutely. So one of the things is to, a big thing when it comes to getting ahead with money is organization. Organization, organization, organization. The more organized you are, the better that you will be with your finances in two different ways. Organized with your finances and just organized with what's coming up in the pipeline, like in your life. Do you have a day planner, different things like that? That can be a big thing to help you plan out your spending, is looking at your day planner or your online calendar, however it is that you manage, like, your dates, your events, things that are happening. Of course, there's not as much happening right now, but usually when there's something coming up, that typically signifies a financial transaction. And that can help you to be prepared for that ahead of time. So for example, tomorrow I have a dentist appointment, I'm getting a retainer, so I know that'll be about $250. So I've known for the past month that that was coming up. I needed to have money set aside for that. For example, it can also be if you're taking your pet to the vet or getting hair done, nails done, different things like that. Like, look at what's coming up in the pipeline based on your pay period. That's really, really great. So then you can judge ahead of time what that looks like for actually how much spending you do have. And one of the things that's really helpful is to write down all of your fixed monthly expenses that you have from the 1st to the 31st of the month and have them basically organized in that order of what day they come out per month. And it's really helpful for you because then when I work with my clients, we don't just do like a monthly budget. We break it down per pay period. So let's say, for example, if you are paid twice a month on set days, I'm going to say the 1st and the 15th, just as an example. When you have all your expenses written down on the dates they come out per month and the amount that they are, it makes it so much easier to see. I see a lot of times clients have one half of the month is a lot heavier for expenses. They have no idea they are more stressed. So for example, their rent or their mortgage payment, a lot of people that comes out on the 1st of the month. And then maybe the second half of the month, they have less expenses. So sometimes what I'll tell them to do is look at how much they have for kind of each half of the month or each half of their pay periods. And we'll move some expenses from the first half to the second half to even it out more. So that's really helpful. And then also, if you're paid bi-weekly, your expenses are not going to always fall under the same pay period. So that's really helpful to have everything written down so you can see which expenses fall under this pay period at this time, because eventually they're going to start to flip that certain things are under the first pay period and certain ones are under the second, and then they'll start to kind of switch because of you getting paid on different days per month. So that's a big thing, is just knowing when things are happening. The second thing is any of your fixed expenses, it's the same amount on the same day, those types of expenses that you have every single month, having those come out automatically is really, really helpful, because I want my clients using their brain power for the most important financial decisions versus just paying bills. So unless you're living like super, super paycheck to paycheck, I highly recommend my clients to automate all of their fixed expenses to come out right out of their checking account. And If you are paid twice a month on set days, a great tip for you that's a bonus is I would go ahead and I would move your fixed expenses to come out the day after you've been paid. So let's say you're paid the 1st and the 15th. Have those expenses come out on the 2nd and the 16th. So instead, because this is a big thing that causes people a lot of stresses. Let's say if you're paid on the 15th, you have an expense coming out on the 28th. You have a lot less left in your bank account. It's a lot more stressful. So that's another thing that helps to reduce accidental overspending is by just getting the money out right away. Now, if you're paid bi-weekly, you can't do that option, but you can definitely do the other things I suggested. And then the third one, this is a huge one. This is literally a game changer. And if you only take one thing from this podcast, please take this for a tangible tip to do, is to figure out, sit down and really plan, like, what bigger expenses do you think are going to be coming in your life this year? So there's going to be ones that are for sure going to happen, and then there's going to be ones that might happen. Figure out what all of those different ones are and how much you think that will be for the year, and then open up a separate savings account for each of those. So I'm going to walk you through the steps of that because I know that sounds big. So I have, when I go through with my clients, we think about, for example, we just had Christmas. So that's a really big one, is having a gifts account. So we figure out they kind of break down how much they think they're going to spend. And then we save on a monthly basis for that. So when Christmas comes around, a lot of times it's the first time my clients have ever paid for Christmas in cash, and they just feel so much less stressed. They actually enjoy it more. So gifts is its own savings account. Clothing, my clients will save a small amount for clothing each month. If you have a pet, I highly recommend saving for vaccinations, a small amount for, you know, extra vet bills. If you have a vehicle, every single one of my clients I have a vehicle maintenance account. So then it can pay for kind of oil changes, tires, / anything kind of unexpected. Those are different types of ones to sit down and figure out what that looks like. And then travel. A lot of my clients are not traveling right now. The vast majority of them aren't, but they're still saving on a monthly basis for travel. So when it comes, it's not like, oh my gosh, everything goes on their credit card. So this is really, really helpful for you. And then what happens is you figure out what those accounts are, open them all up separately. Now, the reason why I say separately and not to just put them all in one savings account is because everyone has one savings account and they're trying to save for multiple things. So you never really know how close you are to any of those goals. And the other thing is, when you have one savings account, a lot of times in our head, we just want it to grow infinitely. So then when we have to use money for some of these types of expenses, we feel guilty. Well, a big thing for me is helping my clients to reduce the shame and the guilt. When you have these separate savings accounts for these types of things, you no longer have to feel guilty for using them, because that account was just for clothes or just for gifts or just for car repairs. And you have that separate from your other savings account. The other thing is, we need to have, think of savings from two different perspectives. There is short-term savings and long-term savings. Long-term savings is like retirement, investments, saving money to buy a house, because that's definitely an extended period of time. Short-term savings is savings for things that are coming up typically within a year. So all of these things I just mentioned, which I call savings buckets, those are short-term savings. So we want to have that separate from the other savings. So it's really helpful if you have all these different accounts. And then, for example, once a month, typically the day after you've been paid, I have clients make a transfer for a certain amount to each of these accounts. They're all different, depending on their specific lifestyle, how much we think that is coming up for them. And they make that transfer right after they've been paid. Same thing that we talked about earlier. We're making sure they have that money available ahead of time and that they didn't spend it by accident. So I never have clients do these transfers at the end of the month. They're always doing them right after they've been paid. And this is, honest to goodness, such a huge game changer. And tangibly, but also emotionally, you feel so much better when you already have this money set aside. And what happens is there's a really sweet spot that happens once you've made about 4 months worth of consistent transfers into these savings accounts. Then when those bigger expenses come up, all of a sudden you don't need to use your credit card to kind of front you, but you can use these. So A, it actually helps my clients to even out their expenses from month to month. It helps it so they're not adding to credit card debt, but what we're putting towards their credit card is actually coming down. And then the third thing, for anyone who is debt-free or has just paid off debt, it helps you to actually stay out of debt as well. Because a lot of people can pay off debt but keep going back into the cycle. This helps to actually prevent that as well. And a lot of people think about emergency funds, but they're using emergency funds for all these types of expenses. We eventually want you to have an emergency fund, but we want it to be for loss of income, loss of job, health concern, different things like that. we don't want it to be covering these types of expenses that we know are coming up anyways. So yes, I would love for you to open up different savings accounts and to make these transfers. And this is the other thing. Just take baby steps. If you can only make one transfer at first, amazing. Celebrate that. And then just keep working up to being able to making all of them. This is something that's a journey. It's not going to happen overnight, but I can tell you it's a game changer if you just keep at this consistently.
Yeah, that's a lot of really amazing tips. I've never thought about, because having multiple savings accounts, I struggle to try to touch any of my accounts because I'm like, maybe if I just don't touch it, the money will grow. But those are all really good tips.
Yeah, all of what you said is very, I think, relatable to a lot of people. But I love how you kind of since you have all this experience, you had this personal experience with going through this whole journey, and then you kind of realize this gap in the, not market, but in the industry of there are coaches doing these certain things, but there's not anyone really connecting all these different dots of how the emotional part of it, or how your feelings around money can also affect your mental and physical health and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's awesome. It's very, you have a very inspiring story for sure. I think a lot of people listening will definitely be able to relate to at least parts of everything you talked about. So yeah.
No, I mean, just what Shelly was saying, right? And I'm so intrigued because what I've actually always kind of heard about shame and financial coaches, those two things specifically, is the shame of not having enough. And then coaches that are I'll teach you how to, triple your money or make 10 times more than you're making. But it sounds like that's not your approach, right? You just want people to be healthy and happy and stable. Never once did I hear I teach my, and I mean, you may or may not, that's fine, but and no shame around that, but I just love how your approach is more about healing, more about having people feel safe and comfortable and not anxious and not worry, and getting to the root of what is causing whatever relationship we have around money. I think it's safe to say, actually, you're the expert. You might even know the stats on it. I think it's safe to say that a good portion of people don't have the best relationship with money. They either have scarcity or, how would you respond to that? Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I see a lot of people, the vast majority of people really do have a lot of wounds when it comes to money. And then the people who say that they really don't, what I see happening is they have a harder time getting in touch with their feelings and their emotions, their experiences that they've had. And I will say, if you would have asked me all these questions probably 7-8 years ago, I would have been depending on the certain questions, some things I wouldn't even have had the awareness of, because I just wouldn't have had the depth to have went there yet. So sometimes it depends how far down your journey you are. For me personally, I needed to get really, really sick to understand these connections. And sometimes I see people just kind of aren't ready, but there's a lot of people that really do, especially women when I work with them. I find men are a little bit tougher. And I also think that's because of conditioning and society and different things like that, versus women, it's almost kind of more socially acceptable to dive more into your emotions and your feelings. So I think it's a little bit easier for them, for the vast majority, just saying that there. And so I truly believe everyone has woundings around money, because our parents weren't perfect. Their parents weren't perfect. And just everything that they've, or even if your parents were really, really great, I will see a lot of times wounding around, wow, I wish they would have told me how much things actually cost and how to manage my money, because everything just seemed fine. So I just spent money like it was just coming out of the tap. And that led me to so much credit card debt. Then there will be a lot of wounds around that, a lot of shame of what they got into. So absolutely, I will say there's so many connections that people can come up with for the wounds and the things that they're feeling internally when it comes to their money.
Absolutely, 100%.
And one thing that I also just want to touch on was when you were talking about the making more. One of the things, so I will talk with my clients about that, but one of the coolest parts is, especially when I'm working with entrepreneurs, we will really work on them focusing on being really intentional with their money, feeling safer, diving into the emotional side. And when you feel more grounded and more excited, you will make more money. So for example, if you feel really anxious about money and you do not want to check your bank account, you're really putting out to the universe, I can't handle more money. Like, it's really what's coming across. So I will tell clients, things might not feel great right now. Make it a money date. Sit down, make it enjoyable. Even if your checking account or your credit cards are not showing what you want them to, you showing up and doing the work and saying, you know what, this isn't what I want it to be right now, but I'm willing to see this, and I'm managing and being responsible with the money I have now. It's showing that you're more open to that, because I will hear that a lot of times from women, especially entrepreneurs, is I want to make more money, but I have no idea what to do with. That's a block coming in for sure. So that's a big thing. Improving the relationship with money absolutely changes it. But also, so your confidence, when you feel more confident with money, that confidence comes out in other areas of life. It comes out at work, being able to negotiate, to ask for a raise. That's a huge thing, is women are leaving on average $1.6 million on the table because they haven't been negotiating their salaries, because people expect you to negotiate. So when they give you a number and you take it, you might be starting it, let's say, for example, maybe $6,000 to $12,000 less. Well, you compound that over time. Oh my goodness, does that add up to such a huge difference? So when you feel more confident in the money you have now, you're more confident in having conversations, in making bigger decisions. Like, everything changes, and you literally can earn more money because of that.
I've never actually thought of it that way. I have heard of that concept of, like, you know, being open to what the universe has for you and manifesting, like, if you believe it, you know. Yeah, no, there was definitely a period in my life in college where I'm like, I will just not look at this. And if I don't look at it, it's not real and everything's fine and I can still use this shiny card.
Yeah, I remember the first time I was following a finance coach on Instagram or something. I think she posted something about that idea of, like, yeah, the more you kind of avoid, like, looking at it, and then, you know, that is kind of sending that message out of, like, I don't care about this, I'm not ready to receive more money, I definitely went through a phase like that too, Faria, where I was like, I made a career change and I was making less money than I was before just to pursue a career that I was more passionate in. And I felt so much anxiety around the idea of making less money that I just, like, instead of looking at it, I just, avoided looking at it. And I was so nervous and, like, stressed and anxious around, like, oh my gosh, now I'm making X amount less than I was before, and it made it worse by just not looking at it and just not, you know, and so I think that's so true. It's like, you know, and I love the idea that you kind of mentioned, Mandy, of, like, make it fun, make it a date or something, or make it like, okay, tonight I'm gonna sit down and have a nice dinner and whatever, and then I'm gonna, you know, figure out my budget or something. And it doesn't have to be something that's like, I don't know enough about money, or I was never good at math or that kind of. So to me, it's like, I have this fear too around numbers, or where I'm like, I just feel like I am not good with it or whatever. And yeah, it does just take kind of forcing yourself to just sit down and be like, I'm just going to figure this out. And it always, at least for me, it was like, okay, this is less complicated than I was expecting or what was building it up to be in my brain. And I love, like, the confidence aspect too, that you mentioned, of, like, I think once you do start, doing that for yourself and being like, okay, I'm going to actually start taking control of my own finances and trying to learn more about it or whatever you do, I felt more confident.
I do want to dive into one thing you mentioned, because I know that there is a lot of listeners listening right now that feel the same way. So you talking about not being good with numbers, I hear that all the time from women. So one of the things that I want you to remember is, so this is one of the things, we correlate money with math, and they really honestly don't have as many similarities as we think. So for example, there's so many things in math that we learn in school that we do not actually have to do any of those equations when it comes to money, but we think we do because they're both numbers. Math was not my strong suit, and I still save that much money. So I want you to know, anytime we're doing numbers, you're literally using the calculator on your phone. You can use a spreadsheet. I never do math in my head, ever. And this is what I do for a living. So I just want to remind you, as a woman, you could have literally flunked every single math class and you can be a millionaire by the time that you're 35 years old. Don't allow this limiting belief, because it is absolutely not true. So I just want to put that out there, because so many people struggle with that. And I don't want anyone to struggle with that anymore, because they are completely different things.
Yeah, you're so right. And I'm curious too, with, like, do you feel like there should be more classes that people take, like, in universities or in, you know, when we're younger in school that are kind of around like finances and money and things like that.
Yeah, 110% it should be taught in school. One of the things that no matter what you do, you 100% need to know is one of the things that is not taught. So it's very sad, but 100%. That's why I always say to people, you didn't learn it from your parents, you didn't learn it from school. You absolutely need to dive into it now. Don't keep waiting. Nobody else taught you, but there's so many resources. Really dive into it now and really get educated about it. There's the education portion, and then there's also the implementation. So there's where you can learn so much, but you're not taking action on it. So do make sure that if you're like, oh my gosh, I love this, something that I've said in this podcast, please write it down and set a deadline that have the time when you are going to do this or implement one of these things right away. Don't just become more knowledgeable. I want you to actually see the benefits of it. So take action on something that we've shared in this podcast as quickly as you can.
Well, Mandy, thank you so much for joining us. We've heard so many great tips, so many great things for our listeners to take away from this episode. I did want to ask, is there anything you want to kind of share about yourself or something you're working on right now?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been my absolute pleasure. And I would love if the listener here would love to come check me out on my podcast. It's Intentionally Wealthy, and I share a lot more of the tangibles as well as the emotional side. So come there and you can learn some more free information from me. And if you're feeling like you would love to go deeper on either the tangible side or the emotional side, I have two different programs that I offer for my clients that I run live. And I just honestly, what I do is I have a conversation with someone over the phone to really determine what is truly the best fit for them. And then we talk through my recommendations based on their specific situation, what their struggles are. So I have two programs. Cashflow Confidence is really the strategic, the tangibles. And then Unfuck Your Money is really the emotional side, diving into your family money history, healing a lot of those like internal wounds. So those are the two programs. And if you just want to learn more from me, you can reach out to me on Instagram and the podcast as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Those two sound like really great. I'm really intrigued by the one where you delve deep, unfuck your money, like delve deep into yourself. So I might actually sign up for that. But no, 100%. If you guys want to check out these programs or stay tuned with Mandy and what she's doing, because she is so, so awesome. You could follow her on her website. So that's mandythomas.com. And that's Mandy with two Y's, MandyThomas.com. Also, you can find her on Instagram at IntentionallyWealthyCo. And we'll also have this in our description and on our website. And thank you so much, Mandy, again, for joining us. It's been so fun talking to you.